The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Friday, 28th day of December, 2012. The Dow is down 59 points. The S&P is off 6. The comp is down 7. Gold down $7.50. And crude off 18 cents a barrel. Oh, Santa. Where's the Santa Claus rally? We're running out of time. Today will be our last day of broadcast for the year. The markets will be open on Monday for, as I recall from the little calendar the CME sends out, the market will be open until noon on New Year's Eve, as it was on Christmas Eve. The markets will then close. They will not reopen Monday night for a Globex session. They'll remain closed through Tuesday. They will reopen. Well, if they do it like Christmas, they won't reopen Tuesday afternoon. They'll reopen Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. Central. And we'll double-check that during the show today to make sure we've got those dates and times right. The main thing you want to remember is that this is our last show of the year, right here, right now, today. We're going to bid you adieu and farewell and see you next year. We're going to take Monday off. The markets will be, even though they'll be open won't be very conducive for trading. And so that's why we're going to pass. Now, we did have our big event this morning in the live trading room. Those of you who are on our list, you got your invitation, you got your tickets for Rage in the Cage. For those of you that didn't get a ticket, I'll show you one on the screen here. They turned out quite nicely. But we were looking to beat our all-time indoor world record of $3,800 per contract for the month. So our goal this month was $4,000, and we did it. Or should I say, Michael did it. Good job, Michael. I told you yesterday we were at 3980, I believe it was, and we only needed 20 bucks. I said, but you know, a couple of trades can go in the wrong direction, then all of a sudden you got more to make up than 20 bucks. I wasn't there at the beginning, but I think Michael said that two trades went in the wrong direction. But by the time all was said and done, we ended up with, and I've got the grand total here for you. Let me scroll up. Let's see, there was one tick in beans, 15 in gold, 18 in crude. That made the total for today per contract in dollars. I want to put it in dollars because I know sometimes ticks, you're like, well, what is a tick? I don't even know what that is. You know what this is. $342.50 per contract, which brings the monthly total for December to $4,322.50 per contract traded. Now, so we exceeded the $4,000 goal for the month. Question is, what are we going to shoot for next month? Well, I'll be honest. We probably won't raise the bar again. We only have 2 hours to work with, and we can only trade what the market hands us. Now, if we could command the market and instruct the market to give up its best trades during that two-hour window each day, that would be a different story. We don't have that power or ability. Sometimes the best trades come in the afternoon, early evening, middle of the night, just before the market opens. I know, the market's fickle that way. And so what we do is we have to take that two-hour window, Monday through Friday, and we have to work with whatever the market hands us. Good, bad, indifferent. You've watched some of the recaps, and you've seen there have been days when we only take one or two trades because that's all the market makes available. Where people run into problems is when they try to take trades based on something that it's not a setup, it's not a trade, but you're a trader, and you've shown up for work, and so you feel compelled to trade. Like if you were a fisherman and you showed up for work down by the river, you would feel compelled to fish. You wouldn't want to go home at the end of the day and your wife goes, hey, honey, how many did you catch? Well, you know, I just kind of sat there and watched the river go by today and I never actually got my hook wet. She'd look at you and go, what? I'm sorry? You've been gone all day? You didn't fish? Well, I know I'm a fisherman, and I went down to the river where people fish, but yeah. See, that would not be acceptable for the fisherman, but for the trader, it actually is. In fact, you need to become that fisherman who can sit and stare at the river and not feel compelled to wet your hook when conditions aren't appropriate. Now, we got to try to cram all of that into 2 hours, plus the teaching, the mentoring, and the answering of the questions. So to raise the bar beyond $4,000 a month, I think would be a stretch. And I think that if we just strive at this point for consistency, and by that I mean to maintain that average between $3,000 and $4,000 month over month for the calendar year of 2013, I think that'll be a fine deed indeed. I really do. Because when you think about it and when you put it into perspective, you go, well, $4,000 for the month. Okay, you know, that's a grand a week. It's a couple hours a day. that's a fair paycheck. But nobody's getting rich, right? Okay. That's why we always throw in that per contract. We trade in the live trading room with one contract because if you're learning how to trade, you need to be trading with one contract. If you're brand new and you're sitting around watching people trade 5, 10, 15, 20 contracts, if you've got the money in your account, you're going to be very tempted to step up to bat and start doing the exact same thing. Trust me, I know. So we are adamant about trading one contract, and we're adamant about aggressive risk management. Never risking more than 2 points on any one trade, and moving our stop aggressively to break even or break even plus a tick as quickly as the market will allow us. Does that cause us to get stopped out an inordinate number of times? It does. But the other thing it does is it preserves our capital. And as a new trader, that should be your focus. Your focus should not be up in your contracts or getting a lot of points. As a new trader, your primary goal should be capital preservation. Because when that money's gone, where are you going to get more? Now, maybe you have more somewhere. Maybe you have an endless supply. If you approach the market with that type of mentality, well, there's more where this came from, or I can always get more, the market will become your own personal black hole that will suck up everything you can throw at it. So, trade one contract in the beginning, and when you've earned enough profits in the market with that one contract, go ahead and move to two. And when you've earned enough profits with those two contracts in the market, go ahead and move to three, and four, and five. Now, if you stick with that, you're faithful, you don't go crazy, you don't get your hook wet just because you can, there'll come a day when you've earned the right, contract by contract, you've earned the right to trade 10. Okay? Well, when you become that 10 contract trader through good trading habits, aggressive risk management, all the things I just talked about, when you go into the market and at the end of the month, you have made $4,000 per contract traded. Oh, wait a minute. If you're the 10 contract trader, and remember, you had to earn the right to be a 10 contract trader. Just because you have enough money to come in and trade 10 doesn't make you a 10 contract trader. No. You got to climb that mountain. I don't care how much money you have. Otherwise, you're just going to throw your money away. But the 10 contract trader who is able to make $4,000 per month per contract, now that's a sizable sum of money. Now what's the flip side? Well, the flip side is trading is risky and you can lose all your money, okay? That's why we're adamant when someone begins training with us that you only trade one contract, that you always use a hard stop, that you never risk more than 2 points on any given trade, and that you practice aggressive risk management. Will you get stopped out a lot? Yes. Will that preserve your capital even though it doesn't feel good? Yes. We don't care about you feeling good. We care about you surviving long enough to stay in the business. Okay? You got to stay in long enough to learn how to do it. The chart I have up in front of me right now is the S&P 500E Mini Futures. I wrote on the blog last night about the one tweet that we've taken for the week, and let's see if I can bring it up here. Hey, my friend Jonathan's going to join me here in just a few minutes, so stick around for that. Let's see if it's going to load. There we go. Here was the post last night, Rage in the Cage, E-mini trading with attitude. Now, it's got to be the right attitude. It's got to be a good one. I know a lot of traders who don't have a good attitude, and you know what? Somehow that just never works in their favor. They don't ever do better because they're angry or bitter or any of those things. It's kind of like life, you know. Good attitude goes a long, long way. Even when your browser hangs up. Check out this ticket. I created this on my computer, on the internet, and everybody that wanted to come watch Michael sweat got one of these tickets in their email. Rage in the Cage with Michael Strike B, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Today's, look at that. Isn't that clever? I just amazed myself. Watch Michael sweat. There he is right there. Some of you have never seen him. I don't know who that guy is. But he's sweating, isn't he? Either that or he has a leaky roof. If you go to the blog, if you click this link right here, boom, you can watch the recap from yesterday. Okay, here's the one tweet we put out this week. Consider being short below 1414 or long above 1432, whichever presents first. Okay, that was the tweet. The original break below 1414 was good for a quick 3.25 points, or 3.5, I guess it was. I wrote 3.25, but it looks like 3.5. Now, CFRN partners have learned that important prices in important areas are usually revisited, retested, and that they provide us with multiple trading opportunities. This tweet did not disappoint. If you go back through the Twitter timeline, you'll see this thing play out over and over and over. It gave up the 3.5. You know, I actually think that was 3.25, but anyway. And then it came back to the 14 and gave up 3. Then it came back to the 14 and gave up, I think, 2.75. I didn't even write that one in. And then it came back to the 14 and gave up 18. And then it came back to the 14 and it gave up 4.25. Now, that's as far as I had marked it up at that point. But you can go out to the blog when you have time, read this, check out that chart. But let me show you where we're at today. Now, this was the move for 18. This chart's just a little scrunched up so I could get it all into one screenshot. Okay, that big long candle right there, that's a 4-hour candle. 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah. Okay, so this was the move to 18. And then it came back and it gave up right here. It went 6.25, I think. Let's see. This is 14. What's the swing low right here? 1408.75. We'll call it 1409. All right, so this was a 5-point move. So this 4.25-point move actually turned into 5. Now, I waited for you guys to show up to do this because there's a 5-point move from here to here is 5 points. Okay? If you're a 2-point-a-day guy, that's 2 days work. Just in that little move right there. Now, this line that I've put on at 1414, let's draw it out. Let's extend it on out. What's the high of this candle? Right here. $14.1375. So we broke 14. we got a couple of nice trades off of the first break. And then the 18. And then the 5. And then this one came within one tick of hitting 14. So there's a possibility you didn't get a chance to participate in this. But the whole thing I'm pointing out is when you find areas like this in the market, critical areas, the price is going to play off of and react off of again and again and again. If you can find that sweet spot early on in the week, and if I'm not mistaken, this tweet came out, I think, Sunday night. No, I take that back. It came out the 26th. Is that right? Okay. Yeah, that would be it right here. It came out the 26th, but it came out early in the morning. I think it was actually late the night of the 25th for me. It doesn't have the time. If you go click on 7:01 a.m. UTC. Anyway, price was up here when I put the tweet out. It broke it here on the 26th, day after Christmas. So we had the 26th, 27th, and 28th, 3 days to work with that. And for those of you wondering about Simple, Simple just keeps plodding along. Last night we got a signal to sell 14.1075 on this candle right here. So on the next candle, you'd have got triggered in. You'd have had a drawdown to 14.1375. So 3-point drawdown, and then the trade delivered 10.75 points. It then signaled this morning to buy 14.1175, but that trade never got triggered. There was no trigger. Remember, this is a two-candle, two-step process. The first candle is the signal. The second candle is the trigger. We got a signal, but we never got a trigger. Okay? So now we're just rolling sideways, waiting for the next signal. Okay? All right, let me see real quick if we got any headlines. And then I want to get my friend Jonathan in here to say hi to him, wish him a happy new year. Well, the big news here in the U.S., up on the Hill, President Barack Obama is set to offer a scaled-back budget package today to avert some of the high taxes, or tax hikes, and spending cuts of the year-end fiscal cliff. Bloomberg reports that Obama will offer an extension of Bush-era tax rates on incomes below $250,000, as well as delay or replace some spending cuts set to kick in. It would also prevent the expansion of the alternative minimum tax. The report comes hours before Obama is set to meet with congressional leaders, where he will present the offer. At 3 p.m., Obama will meet at the White House with Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, House Speaker John Boehner, and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. I got three phones going off at once. Wow. And I only have two phones. The meeting comes after a frantic day in fiscal cliff negotiations on Thursday, during which a report of a new offer from Obama to Senate Republicans was quickly shot down by the White House and Democratic aides. Boehner also called the House back for a rare Sunday session. Boehner spokesman Brendan Buck said last night that Boehner plans to push his message that the onus is now on the Senate. The LAPD did a gun buyback Wednesday. You may have heard of these. Typically, they give away a gift card or something if you bring in a handgun to melt it down. Well, when the LA Police Department did theirs on Wednesday, they received 75 assault weapons during its gun buyback program and two rocket launchers. Now, the department hosted Wednesday the No Questions Asked program, where city residents Mike, I'll be with you in just a second, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Dwayne. I didn't know I was on here.
That's okay.
I'll leave you be.
No. Hang tight. Let me get through this, and we'll bring you live. Okay. The department hosted Wednesday the No Questions Asked program, where city residents could turn in their weapons in exchange for gift cards. They received two military-grade weapons. LAPD Chief Charlie Beck said of the rocket launchers, "These are weapons of war, weapons of death. They're not hunting guns, they're not target guns. These are made to put high-velocity, extremely deadly, long-range rounds downrange as quickly as possible. They have no place in our great city." Can you imagine walking into the police department with a rocket launcher to get your gift card? And they say they're not going to ask you, where'd you get that? And do you have any more? I just got to believe somebody's following them home, you know, back to the arsenal. And the last bit of news, it's Facebook news. Facebook paid Irish taxes of about $4.64 million on its entire non-U.S. profits of $1.34 billion for 2011. The 0.3% tax rate is a bit below the normal, already low Irish corporate income tax of 12.5%. As with now listen to this, guys. Now, just listen. This is going to make you feel just a little sick or sad or mad. As with Apple, Facebook funnels its foreign profits into its Irish subsidiary. As the Guardian article explains, Facebook is structured so that companies buying advertisements on the website in the UK or anywhere outside of the US have to pay Facebook Ireland. As a result, Facebook manages to slash its taxes in other countries, paying, for example, $380,000 in British tax on estimated UK profits of $280 million, or a little over 0.1%. What is shocking is that Facebook paid so much Irish tax since it managed to convert its $1.3 billion gross profit into a net loss of $24 million. Now, how do they do this? It's called the Double Irish Ploy. Facebook operates a second subsidiary that is incorporated in Ireland but controlled in the Cayman Islands. This subsidiary owns Facebook Ireland, but the setup allows the two companies to be considered as one for U.S. tax purposes, but separate for Irish tax purposes. The Cayman's operated subsidiary owns the right to use Facebook's intellectual property outside of the U.S., for which Facebook Ireland pays hefty royalties. This lets Facebook Ireland transfer the profits from low-tax Ireland to no-tax Cayman Islands. For more on the arcane mechanics, you can go to Wikipedia and search international tax planning. There's an article there by Joseph Darby that really gives you the full rundown on how you too can pull this perfectly legal tax dodge. Now, it's legal, and it shouldn't be. The difference between these guys and Al Capone is that these guys can hire better accountants and better attorneys. The tax code was not written so that it could be exploited this way. The tax code was written to collect taxes. Whether you agree with that or not, that's a different issue. But when you have something as bloated as our tax code and much of the tax code around the world, it only takes put a couple of attorneys and a couple of accountants in a room together, you know, give them a lot of coffee and a fat paycheck and some bonuses. They'll figure out a legal way not to evade taxes. See, evading taxes is something you do after you already owe the money. Avoiding taxes is what you do before you owe the money. You structure yourself so that you'll never owe the tax. And that's what they've done here. And again, let me just say, it is perfectly legal. But in the UK, Chancellor of the Exchequer, George Osborne, has had enough. He's launching a $246 million blitz on tax avoidance and evasion. The HMRC, which is the British equivalent of the IRS, they're hiring an extra 2,500 tax inspectors to target high earners who aggressively exploit loopholes to avoid or evade tax. The U.S. should do the same. The guy that gets up and goes to work every day at the factory or at the shop or at the office, you know, you get a paycheck on Friday. They've already taken out your taxes based on your merit and two or whatever that might be. You don't have access to any of this fancy footwork shenanigans, you know, nor can you afford it, right? But they can. And so, am I jealous? No, I'm not jealous. I just think if everybody paid their fair share, whatever that fair share is, and I'm not saying any one person should pay more than another person, I'm just saying if everybody pays what's right, then I think we could solve a lot of our financial problems in this country. Okay? That's just my take. Now, am I for some kind of different tax system? Absolutely. I believe in just like a flat sales tax. You don't pay money on your income. You don't got to pay a tax to go earn money. You just pay the tax when you get ready to spend it. Okay? Now, does that penalize the people who've already made all their money? Yeah, so maybe give an exemption to people over 65. I don't know. But I think in two paragraphs, I could fix this whole tax business. Two paragraphs. Just done. That's it. However, our government chooses to take another path and have fiscal cliffs and late-night meetings. You know, the drama on Capitol Hill, wow. Could the Hollywood directors and producers have put together anything more cliffhanging than what we've seen? At the last minute, they all appear in their capes and tights to save the day. At the last minute, the last hour. Suddenly, everybody's willing to, you know, make a deal. Well, you know what? I'm glad they are. I'm glad for our country. I'm glad for America. I'm glad for myself, my family, and I'm glad for you that they're going to fix this thing. Some way, somehow. All right, that's it for news. We've talked about the markets. My good friend Mike Reed, TradeStalker.com, he is here with us. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dwayne.
How are you, man?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Really happy New Year and to your listeners.
Thanks, buddy. I'm going to open my friend Jonathan's mic as well. Jonathan, you have an open mic. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome. Belated Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you, Mike.
Thanks, Jonathan. To you, too.
Thanks.
Now, do you,
it's nice to talk to you. I think I've heard you on here before. So.
Oh, my gosh. Not many people are willing to admit that.
No, I'm willing to admit that.
Now, Jonathan, actually people enjoyed having you on the show. In fact, I got a number of emails from some folks that said, you know, that was one of the best shows in quite a while. Who is that guy? I said, that's my friend Jonathan. So what do you guys want to talk about? Mike Reed, I know that your time may be somewhat limited, so we'll let you go first. You got some topics you want to cover? Anything you want to talk about the market?
I don't know. I don't know how many people are interested in the VIX at all, but there's been, that's kind of interesting.
Tell them what the VIX is. Let's start there. Tell them what the VIX is.
The VIX is it's two things. It's implied volatility or expected volatility projected out. The cash VIX is basically projected out the next 30 days, and they base it off of I think the three nearest futures contracts, and not going to go into the calculation and stuff, but basically, when the VIX gets to a high level, higher than normal level, then it gets to an extreme on highs, then reverses. It tends to set up buying opportunities. And when a VIX gets very low, that means the market's very complacent and prone to reversing, and a reversal from a very low number tends to give you a sell-off. So a high VIX is kind of shows there's some fear in the market, a little bit of fear in the market, and or at least hedging, a lot of hedging going on, and expected volatility is expected over the next 30 days. So what we have is the 20 area has been kind of about as far as it gets lately, just under 20, and then it would come back down yesterday. I think it did the same, and it was above 20 again today. I use it as a measure of extreme complacency or extreme fear on a short-term basis. And I have a couple of indicators that I put on there to give me buy and sell signals based on the VIX. Now, don't just trade them just blindly, because sometimes they don't always work, of course. But they do give you a good, in most cases, give you a good eyeball of what where turning points can occur. So right now it's really pretty stretched out. We haven't seen any signs of a rally that's able to stick so far. But if we are able to get back above some resistance and hold, that might be enough to start a rally. Also, the VIX reverses from a high level, then you tend to get a reversion to the mean. So the VIX will basically come back to a center point. For that, I use a 10-day moving average. So basically, you look to get it stretched above, well above or well below the 10% bands on a 10-day moving average, and then a reversal from that to give you a buy or sell signals. That's one way to do it, and several other ways, but and it's also can be traded. There's they have options on the options and futures on the VIX, and there's a couple of ETFs that you can trade volatility. You can use it as a hedge or just a straight out play when volatility looks to be too high or too low. So that
now, Jonathan,
probably is confusing,
Jonathan,
but
do you factor that into your trading at all?
You know, I really don't, but I do keep an eye on it. I know that the VIX, as Mike was saying, just hit above the 20 for the first time in a long time. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I'm so much of a clipper of the market intraday that it's not something that I pay a lot of attention to, but it certainly is something that helps your greater understanding. And I think anything that helps your greater understanding and gives you more confidence to work your plan is definitely a plus. Well, I have to tell you, I love hearing guys like Mike talk about this stuff. I'm such a trading junkie that anytime I get to hear somebody talk about stuff that is cool and interesting, I'm jazzed.
Okay. Yeah. But this is basically for, you know, it's not for day trades, but more for swing trades. For me, a trade that might last 3 to 5 days. And if everything sets up, then there's some parameters that I have, like a move to a 5-day moving average, for one. There's a few other things we won't go into, but you can actually get quant. I had a friend build a quantitative model that will just flash all green or red when everything sets up for a signal. And I'll have to, you know, take into account how the market's acting, and it's either needs something to basically trigger. Just not blindly buy or sell because it's giving me the signals, but it's kind of like the room is full of gas. We just need something to light the thing on fire, and you tend to get pretty good moves. So when things line up together, so you know, along with that, I don't know. You might not use market internals, but that's something else that my end of day work is based upon since back in the 80s is what I had to base some. I had to have a reason for. I mean, a guy who mentored me says, "What makes you object to the market?" And I'm like, I didn't know what he meant. It's like I don't object to anything. I love the markets. How a dumb answer. Maybe, you know, what do you, makes you object to the current prices? What makes you decide buy and be a buyer or be a seller? So, you know, it's sort of a, you know, it has some sort of technical analysis along with the trading, two different sets of skills, basically. But for technical analysis, I used the market internals and have indicators that are built around the advances, declines, up and down volume, new highs and new lows over the last 52 weeks. And those, in combination with the VIX signals, will work very well for me. I have a number of my own homemade indicators built in spreadsheets, and then kind of through the camp, so they had, we actually had a few guys work on some things that we, you know, you actually improved on some of these things I've been using for a long time. So the models are pretty good too. So when everything lines up, that's when my ears or my eyes are wide open for, a move of some, pretty sizable move and in the opposite direction. So that's where I look for at turning points for like swing trades.
What about you, Jonathan?
Let's hear from Jonathan.
Well, I'm not a swing trader by any imagination. Mike talks about 3 to 5 days. I'm looking for 3 to 5 seconds. No, I definitely am a clipper. So even though I truly do love the dialogue and talk about the greater market analytics, and I love hearing about it, it's not something that that runs into my individual trade decisions, even though I think that the general concepts are all the same, meaning we all are looking for support and resistance on whatever time frame we're trading on. We're looking for volatility to move the market so it goes, and then, you know, a something that gives us an advantage. So I know that Mike is, boy, just a smart guy and has been doing this for a long time and really knows what he's doing. So I really appreciate what he says and always love listening to him. But on a separate note, I just wanted to congratulate Michael on breaking his record. And I know how difficult it is to do a room, try to teach people, help people at the same time, and yet trade magnificently. And anybody that's a profitable trader trades magnificently as long as they're consistent at it. And so I just want to tip my proverbial hat right now. I'm standing up with my arms over my head, making an O. That's my version of a standing O.
Okay.
So I give Mike a standing O there. That's a really great accomplishment.
Yeah, let me raise my glass to that. Yeah.
Huh? Exactly. As far as the markets go, I have to say I've been really pleased with the, even though the volume has been light, with the volatility that's happened over this last 2 weeks. Normally, this would be a time to take a vacation and visit and do something else, but I've been very pleased with the intraday volatility and the movements of the markets, and truly given some nice opportunities inside the action.
My greed means Santa Claus rally. Looked like we were having one, and then suddenly we weren't. What are your thoughts on that?
No. Things were on the overbought side coming into the week. We reached day session. Had our resistance was at 1424 to 1424.5, and I believe that was the high. I think we nailed the high on that on Monday morning, and that happened in the first the first 12 minutes, and then yesterday. Then they sold off to a low on Monday around 11:30 a.m. and rallied back. Yesterday was kind of a carbon copy, but they reached down to 1396, which was just under the 97
to the tick right
level
there.
We had.
Yeah.
And then had a carbon copy bounce back kind of day, and then I just don't see it happening unless they can get above 1408.5, 1409 resistance here and then hold. But I've been just selling the bounces for the most part and staying away from the long side, except for a few scalps here and there, but most of my trades have been from the short side, and that's just the way it's acting for me, the best way back. I don't think Santa Claus failed to call, so a bear will come to Broad and Walk.
We'll see. Oh, that's so sad.
But
now, Mike, you teach that for you, every trade starts as a scalp, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, if I dip my toe in, I'm looking for, I'm basically, as far as day trades go, pretty much, well, I guess you would call me a scalper because I'm going for, you know, a point and a half to 2 points or so on my trades. And sometimes less than that, but, I remember what your original question was, Dwayne, but.
You teach that for you, every trade starts as a scalp.
I got you. Yeah. That's the way, but in a case where, it's not a, where it turns into more than a scalp is where, say like early in the day, you get a good entry at a significant support or resistance area, may scale out of, in thirds, but still have partial position on in case it turns into much, something more. So it started out as a scalp and I would, you know, take some, profit at, you know, at least at plus two or maybe less than that and then continue to, manage the trade as far as I can, you know, as far as I, it, till it reaches a logical target. Or whatnot, but, so I can, you know, part can be a scalp and then market action dictates. For instance, on Monday, it was basically just trend down to the low and there was didn't even have a look for a bounce. It was a steady down, so there's no reason to look for a bounce until they, stalled out near the low, and that was at a support area that we had also, so it was a good spot, time to exit that trade. But it turned out to be the runner that was on turned out to be almost 10 points, if I remember correctly. But it started out as a scalp, and I took some partial profits and had still had part of my original trade intact. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it hadn't worked out my way, and they had taken that resistance out, then or didn't get moving right away, then it would have been for me. I don't really sit around and wait for my stop to get hit. If it's just not going to go my way in a reasonable amount of time or the edge is gone, my original trade setup or premise is not working, then I'm going to hit the exit and take another look. So that's the way I kind of operate intraday. Not just, you know, I'll wait and see if they can come up and or come back to my entry or whatever. While my stop sits there and it's going right for it, I don't see the sense in that for me. So.
Now, to the audience, I say, we've got Mike Reed here, 27 years trading, and still trading. That's a huge, what I said right there, that's a lot. 27 years and still trading. And we've got Jonathan here, who has been trading a number of years. How many years have you been trading, Jonathan?
This will be the end of number 8.
Okay, guys, so we got a lot of collective experience here. And most of you have seen mine and Michael's style from charts and recaps and from open houses or you're a partner. But Mike Reed and Jonathan, they both approach the market a little bit differently. Okay, if you have some questions for them about their technique or about how they spot trade setups or what they use for entries or time frames, go ahead and just type it into the chat box. Feel free to ask.
Sure.
What was your trading like today, Jonathan? Tell us about your day.
I'm sorry?
Did you trade today?
Yeah, absolutely. It was nice. Had 8 trades today, one loss, one break even, and six wins. So it was a nice morning. It's about typical. That would be about right. But I want to just confirm, because I'm not sure it's something that people hear a lot, and certainly don't want to cause any confusion or double mindedness. But I want to kind of confirm and back up what Mike is saying about the stops. I would agree with him as a trader. I don't need my stop to be hit to understand that the trade premise that I've gotten into has changed. Meaning, as the market changes and moves, I think we all embrace Mark Douglas's idea that the market can do anything that it wants to at any moment. Mm-hmm. But after I've entered a trade with a premise of the way that it's going to go, not a belief that my trade is going to make the market do what it's going to do, but I certainly have a premise and an idea of how the market should perform when I enter a trade. I think everybody should. But when that premise is no longer valid or active, then I believe that my edge no longer exists. So I too, like Mike, choose to exit the market, either break even with a small loss or even a small gain if it's not working, because I am truly looking to trade my edge and not just enter a trade and then use hope as my strategy. So I just wanted to confirm what Mike was saying about his ideas of using stops and otherwise.
Yeah. I'm not alone and not crazy after all.
No, you're not.
So, yeah.
I would agree with that.
And so where did you get in the market this morning, Jonathan?
Let's see. I can tell you where I traded today. Hold on a second. I have them marked. Cause I marked my chart so I can post it. Let's see. I took I got on the market this morning. My first was a quick little bounce at 8:05:52. I took a short trade off of there.
I'm sorry,
that was the value area low for the entire 5 days of trading, previous 5 days of trading, and I got in short there. I took a trade to continue going short at 8:16 and took a minus two ticks on that trade as it didn't perform. And then took an entry at 8:45 and 12 seconds long up to the value area low from the previous day in trading there. And then a couple others as it ranged there. But it's generally I stop trading around 9:30 or 10 as the market slows down and you don't get the same type of movement or action as it does early in the morning and then later in the afternoon.
Now, what time frame are you trading off of?
I trade a 6:10 tick chart.
Okay.
And then virtually most everything else I have, other than the profile, I use the market profile things is volume based. So I'm interested in the volume either at prices and or the volume that it takes to move price, from one direction to other, or another. But the basis of my decisions are based on where we're trading, comparative to value currently and value assessed by the overall market previously.
Now, Michael, how does that, Mike Reed, how does that line up with what you did in the market today?
I had this one trade, Dwayne, around 11:15, 11:20. It was just a small thing. It was around, let's see. I think I entered around 14:07, and there was a small pullback to around 14:05 and three quarters, thereabouts. There was some support at 14:05 and a half, and it went down. I think it went down a little bit below that. Yeah, it did. It's on the charts. I went down another point, down to 14:04 and a quarter, but I got a piece of that and was out, and that was it so far. I really wasn't expecting, a whole lot to happen today. I was surprised by that run-up, and I figured it was something out of Washington, but I didn't.
It was based on the announcement that Barack Obama was going to meet with Hill leaders. It's the same thing that happened yesterday. Yesterday, when we got near the bottom and they announced that they were going to reconvene early on Sunday, we got that little run up.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the one thing that I'm always impressed with and amazed me, and I know that the markets are tradable, and those people, I'm not a somebody who poo-poos the random walk idea, but the one thing that I'm comfortable with is, so Mike had a resistance area at 1405.50, or a support level, I'm sorry, there, and I just want to say that in the things that I use, I would have had mine at 1405. Not that one's better than the other, but I'm always amazed that you know, when you get traders who do this and are consistent and are professional about it and they talk about it and you get with them, you know, their support, resistance, and or the way that they approach it is most often going to be very, very much synonymous. For example, your trading zones from yesterday at 1396, I hadn't seen that before today. I hadn't been in your room. Mine was 1396 and a quarter.
Hmm.
So it's just confirmation that for those people who are serious about the markets, you know, go about their business and aren't, you know, water cooler type of people, that there's a great convergence of information and dynamics that support what we do on a daily basis. I just want to tip my hat, say good job.
Anytime you see the same numbers coming from different people who use different methods to arrive at those numbers, then, and especially with what you just said there, Jonathan, I know that Mike said Mike, you had a number at what, 1397? I think you had a
yesterday. It was a 97.5, 96.5.
Okay.
So
Mike had 97. Jonathan had 96.25, and we had put out our numbers back Monday morning prior to the market opening, 95.96. So what we've had this number sitting down here all week. Now, what these guys are talking about is with their intraday work, suddenly this number popped up on their radar screen as being active yesterday. So when you have the benefit of looking at a bigger picture or a longer term time frame, like say the weekly trading zone, and then you can bounce that against what's showing up today based on the daily action, wow. It's right here in front of you. Mike was at 97, Jonathan was at 96.25, we were at 95.96, and look what happened. As soon as the market got here, it was really quite impressive because I watched this play out. This is an hourly candle, but once it touched this area, it did not hang around. It bounced immediately. Bounced right back up, and then it looked like we were going to continue down on this next hourly candle. But as soon as that tail got taken out, we ran right back up to this 14-14 area. Now, do either one of you guys have 14 as anything important this week?
That's 1,400?
14-14.
14-14.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that, Dwayne.
Okay. Because that's the number we've been trading off of all week, and it's really just provided some great opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they can show up as dynamic areas.
And that's what this was. But, this was dynamic. This showed up into the week on the 26th. Yeah, I tweeted it out.
Yeah, and for me, Dwayne, sometimes because a lot of my areas are developing based on volume in the trading each day,
mm-hmm.
it may have been at one point, but I don't have it today.
Okay. And for volume, the way I look at volume and is the 10,000 contract chart, and that's not a magical number. Just like Jonathan's 610 chart, 610 is a fib number, but he would be quick to tell you it's not a magical number. It's a number. You got to pick some number. You got to use some time frame. That is one that has worked well for him. whatever it is, something when he looks at that chart, he sees what he needs to see. It relays the information that he needs to put on and take off trades with confidence.
You know, Dwayne, you know, I'm having a heart attack over here now that you told me that's not a magical number.
Sorry. I didn't mean to spoil it for you.
You ruined my entire day.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. All right. We can rewind this. We're recording it. We can just rewind it and restate that. Here's my look at volume, guys. It's 10,000 contract. I mean, you can do volume a number of different ways. You can run it across the bottom. You can run it down the side. There are charts that are specially designed to display volume. But this is just kind of very basic. Each candle represents 10,000 contracts trading hands. Now, there's a lot of information there based on, if you look here on this particular candle, price went from a low of 99 and a quarter to 03 and a quarter, so it went 4 points on 10,000 contracts. But then you can go and find, you know, very small candles like this right here. This only moved 3 ticks, but yet it was also 10,000 contracts. Now, that's the market relaying what I think is very important information. I don't know that I've perfected how to decipher it and to understand exactly what it's telling me, but I know that there is importance behind here. The market was able to just move 4 full points on just 10,000 contracts. And when I say just 10, an average day in the S&P 500 E-mini is somewhere between 1 and 3 million contracts traded. So 10,000 is not a lot in the grand scheme of things. But here we move 4 points on 10,000 contracts. Here we're only able to move 3 ticks on 300,000 contracts. So, Mike, you want to weigh in on that? What would you think? What is the thought that first comes to mind right here? Why are we seeing such heavy activity, such big volume? Okay, 300,000 contracts, but the market is unable to move. Does that say anything to you?
Consolidation. is it near the end of the day, near the close? Can you tell, or
up here? Let's see.
Right there.
Yeah, that was right towards the end of the day.
Okay, that may have something to do with it, but the other ones,
this one down.
The other ones that are small ranges tend to be, well, I'm looking at over to the right off the double bottom. To the right.
Now see, this,
further to the right where I see some
right
at
here,
a high.
This big candle here happened at 14:44 Chicago time. Okay, so 2:44 in the afternoon. That was an afternoon.
Okay, right, that's there. A logical time for that to make a move also.
Is it? Okay,
220
now,
to 240 time frame.
Why is that?
People hold getting caught, day traders on the wrong side, the clock's ticking, and they have 90 minutes to do something with it. And if they're caught on the wrong side, they need to get out, and they need to do something. And if it comes in as group think, like as it did in that case, you just get like a vacuum. But that's normally been the time frame, the major time of day, and then minor time of day is that first 20 to 40 minutes. I think we've gone through that before, but my time's really short here, Dwayne, so maybe we can do that another time. But
okay, all right.
I would just say that's consolidation or preparation for a turn. I wish I could circle what I see there on your candlesticks.
Tell me where you want to go. Tell me where you're
trying to go. There you go. Just to your left a little bit more. A little bit more to that other left. There you go.
Right down here.
Over one bar. Yeah, right there. Okay.
Okay.
Now that's very. You've gone up. Also, no, just to your left again, Dwayne.
Right there.
Right, and yeah, one candle left to that, and then that candle. That's a small one, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one to the left, just to the right of that. No, you're at the right spot.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to put a little circle around it so people can
highlight
it out.
Okay, well, this is hindsight, but there's a run-up and then a tiny bar, and then your candlestick has an outside bar, 10,000 contracts.
Yeah, this is a bearish engulfing candle right here.
Right. So but I don't know how often that happens. I see one on over to the right where you had a one at a low over there, but maybe you watch those things at highs and lows for at least a short-term turn. I see a couple others on the chart. Over to the right, right around one of your weekly trading zones.
Up
a little
here.
Bit more right there. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
That was for a little move. And then to the right a little bit more. Are those small candles? Fairly small.
They're fairly small, yeah.
So consolidation before a decent move. And then your little one at the bottom, that little, is that a doji or?
A doji right there, yep.
Okay.
Doji pushed it right back up into the zone where we hit resistance.
So I, you know.
Now it's coming up.
You have to look at a chart for a while to see how they pan out, but maybe it's consolidation before some sort of move.
Either a scalp or
maybe a bigger turn.
When I see a large number of contracts trade hands without moving price, I know that somebody's up to something that probably knows a little more than I do about a thing or two. When a lot of contracts can trade hands and it doesn't affect the price that much, that gets my attention. So.
Yeah.
Now, when
Dwayne?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep. Okay, so you got to take off? All right.
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Everybody.
Happy New Year,
Jonathan.
Mike.
Happy New Year, Mike.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, Jonathan, Dwayne, you and your family.
Thanks, brother.
And all the listeners out there.
Yeah.
I hope 2013 is a great year for everybody, so.
All right, buddy. Take
and remember, Mike, we're only 60 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting.
Hey, here we go. Yeah. Spring is around the corner.
Yeah, yeah, gotta keep everything in perspective.
Yeah, there you go. With 8 inches of snow on the ground, it sounds great.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, guys.
Take care, Mike. Have
a good day.
Bye bye.
Best to your family.
Thank you. Bye now.
Okay, Jonathan, let's see.
Yes, sir.
Anything else you want to talk about today? Any trading stuff or life stuff? Or, you know, one thing we should say, we talked about this just a second ago, but they're having their meeting on Capitol Hill at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
It is currently, what time on the, time is it on the Hill? 1:15?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's about 1 o'clock.
It's 11:11 here.
Yep, 1:15.
1:15, okay. All right, guys, so at 3 o'clock, they're going to meet, and there'll be speculation, and there'll be something leaked out of there. It's going good, it's not going good, but I would watch the markets, and if I were you, I would be very careful. I'd be very careful.
I would definitely treat it as a high-impact econ event.
Okay. Remember this, guys, right here. Now, see this? I got an email from a guy. I don't know if he's tuned in. I know Bert had responded to him, and I really felt my heart really went out to this guy. He had worked for the past year being very diligent, doing all the right things, and he had built up his trading account from a relatively small amount to a significant size. And his goal or his plan was prior to the end of the year, tax reasons and whatnot, he was going to take the lion's share of that trading account and he was going to move it somewhere else and do something else with it, okay? But he just, you know, figured it was safe in his account. I talked about this the other day. this thing dropped, I'm not going to do the math right now, but I think we figured it out the other day. It was like 40, we'll round it and call it 45 points. Now, this gentleman had a trade on. He had a hard stop in place. But we talked about this in a really fast-moving market. That stop can get jumped, and it came down here, and it wiped out his entire account.
Oh, no.
I mean, when he wrote that email to me, he was literally, I could so feel his anguish and his, although, you know, but he was pretty calm about it. And he says, you know, it's happened, and now I've just got to, I got to deal with it. His broker, not Daniel's Trading, but his broker was going to look at it and see that he was, you know, trying to get out of the trade and blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I know, and I think he knows as well, that they're probably going to not eat that loss. They're gonna put it on him. And so I talked about this the other day, guys. Number one, when this kind of stuff's going on, now this came as a surprise. I don't think anyone expected this one. But today at 3, we know that they're meeting and something could be said that can cause this type of a reaction. My suggestion is just don't be in the market, okay? If you're not exposed to the market, if you don't have an open position, no matter how much this thing jumps up and down and gyrates, it can't take your money if you don't have an open position. So my suggestion is just be flat. Now, the other thing I'll say is if you're a two-contract trader, okay, you only need enough money in your trading account to trade a couple contracts. If you're a five-contract trader, if you're a 10-contract, whatever the – here's the thing. Let's say that you have $50,000 that you have put aside or saved up, and that's your capital to move into the world of trading. Okay. You don't want to put all 50 grand into your active trading account. You need to have those funds segregated. Talk to your broker. Talk to Bert. Call him toll-free, 866-928-3310. Say, how can I do this so that the most that I am ever liquid in my account at any one time is 5 grand or 10 grand or 15 grand, whatever it is that you need to cover your trades. If you're trading overnight in the S&P, you got to have 5,000 per contract in there for the margin. But if you're just trading intraday, it's only $500 per contract that you need for margin. So with 10,000 in your account, you could trade 10 contracts, okay, intraday, with just 10,000 in your account. And people go, well, wait a minute, you know, that's out of whack, you know, 10 grand, you blah, blah. No, no, no. You have 50, or you have 75, or you have 100, whatever it is you have, okay, that is your trading, that is your total account size for the purpose of trading, but you're only deploying so much money into that active account at a time. So that you don't ever have happen to you what happened to this fellow the other day that sent me the email. Okay, now Jonathan, do you have any recommendations or suggestions on how a person would do that, or what options are available?
Yeah, I know for me with my brokerage account, I have a stop loss limit that they honor on my account for any given day. So. If I'm trading and for some reason I'm an idiot and I lose my mind, mm-hmm. they shut down my account.
Okay.
That hasn't happened for years, but at one point in my career and time, I think we've all been there,
yeah.
Where we lose our minds and something doesn't go right. But also if something were like that were to happen, they honor that. So my broker has a standing order of a stop loss limit for any trading day. Now,
so
for me, I don't trade overnight, so I don't have the same parameters, but I know some that do, and some brokers will do that, will honor a fixed stop loss on a percentage of or a dollar amount to your account. So that might be something you could ask your broker, but that just breaks my heart.
Yeah,
to hear that story.
I wonder if he had I know exactly what you're talking about. You can tell most platforms today, I think, offer this. I know DT Pro does. You can say, I want to have a daily maximum loss limit of $500 or $1,000, whatever is appropriate for you and your account size. Mm-hmm. And once you hit that limit for the day, the platform locks you out. You can still watch the platform. You can still, you know, watch the market do what it's doing. You just, and you can even go into the simulator and trade. You just can't put on a live trade until the next session starts. It gives you a cooling off period, so you don't start making what they call Mad Hatter trades. You know, I'm going to get my money back. You know, this thing's not going to beat me. I'll show him who's boss. Well, boy, that just never ends well. But I wonder if he had had one of those in place, and it blew through it, knocked out his whole account. I wonder if they would have honored that.
I don't know. Meaning, my broker has said that it does.
Okay.
I haven't had to test it in a very long time, but my broker says that it does. So I think it would just be something that you'd ask your broker and see. But that's another fail-safe for folks. Do we have a couple more minutes, or are we closing out?
No. What do you want to talk about? Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to give for what it's worth my input on how I look at volume as you guys were talking about that.
Okay.
As somebody who watches and uses that on a standpoint. Now, as you indicated, there are lots of ways to show volume on a chart, and you use a 10,000 tick chart, and that speaks to you, and certainly you understand that. I have the kind of histogram on the left-hand side of the chart, you know, the one that shows the varying amounts of volume at any price,
mm-hmm.
Set up in a market profile. So I use volume a little bit differently, but I think it's saying the same things as we indicated before. When I see heavy volume in any one place, what that indicates to me is that there's a consensus as to the value there, that there's not a belief in one direction or the other. Meaning that price at that point, there is auction happening on both sides of the price, if I'm making any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to low volume areas, what you understand and can experience is the idea that there has been rejection of that price, meaning that there's only been willingness to trade it in one direction, at least historically. Doesn't mean that, as we all know, historically doesn't mean necessarily that it's going to perform again, but historically there's only been trading in a single direction, and that helps me understand where I either want to take a trade. If I'm going to let some run, I trade both in one lots for public, and then I have multiple lots for a private account. And so as I let runners go, then I'm looking at the volume areas to see where I can get out easily, because I know that there is great agreeance in the price, so that the auction is going back and forth. And then also where I know I might want to get out of a trade, because I understand that there's not a lot of appetite for trading in that area in the direction that I might be going. I don't know if that makes sense. But
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to kind of put that in there, as I'm a believer in market auction theory, that's how I look at the volume and utilize it in day-to-day and in the scalping of what I do. Also, while I'm there, I want to say that I also agree with your philosophy, and I think you teach people who are new and people who have traded for a while but are still looking to truly cross that bridge of being consistently successful. I just want to applaud the way you teach people to protect themselves and to take the paycheck when the market offers it to them and make sure that they are trading their advantage. It's a really good thing you all are doing.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. This chart that I have up right now, I just threw up the little volume histogram on the right side. Now, I know that's probably not the type of histogram that you use, but can you pull any useful information from this histogram?
Sure. I mean, the way I would be looking at it from the standpoint is there where the histogram peaks to the right there, is the area where you have the greatest amount of agreeance on price. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if I was going to be trading the swing trading or that type of information, I would have been looking to get long where price was good, and that would have been just below that blue area. Right, I can't show it to you, but just a little bit farther south, a little bit more, right there. So as that chasm created, what I know from a historical standpoint is that there's not been an appetite to be short lower than that price.
Okay.
In other words, the volume indicates that the volume is light, and the volume basically is traded in one direction. So if I was swing trading, I would have looked for some type of confirmation off of that point there to trade the other way, and then I would have been willing to trade up to where the value or the volume chasms again at the top of that area. So if you just slide it up, nope, a little bit lower. Right, just a little bit lower, right about there, and I probably would have gone just a little bit before that, mm-hmm. because I'm less greedy with my exits.
Gotcha.
Meaning I want to get paid when the market gives me money.
Right.
I have no interest in talking about how great my trade is and how I got out just, you know, a tick before it turned and stopped. I just want to get paid each day. And move forward. But that's in essence how you'd read volume from that standpoint, understanding that there was less appetite to do that. You might have, if you wanted to be more aggressive, if you go past that one more spike there on the right, up there just above you, you have the spike of volume up there.
Right there.
And just past that, that's where you would also then see a rejection if you were going in the other direction, at least from the volume profile that you're showing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It does for me.
And that's how I look at it. Meaning the idea of volume, what volume shows me if you are a market auction kind of guy or person or gal, sorry, I apologize, is the idea that the volume is indicating how many people were willing to trade or be involved at the auction at that price. And the thinner the volume, the less trading and more directional it is. And then where's the most volume is, that's where you have your quant program traders trading back and forth two or three ticks at a time, sometimes even one, but also you have your retail traders trading back and forth with each other, back and forth until there's a decision to move price in one direction or the other.
Gotcha. Okay.
Anyways.
Well, Jonathan, I sure appreciate you coming on and hanging out on the show with me today. Guys,
always
if anybody has any questions on anything that we just talked about, anything about volume, feel free to type it into the box, and we'll cover that real quick before we head out. This is our final broadcast for 2012. We're going to be closed on Monday. The markets will be closed on Tuesday, and we'll be back January the 2nd, Wednesday, for a full day of trading in the live, or a full 2 hours of trading in the live trading room, as well as a full broadcast day here on the radio program. So certainly hope you will all join us. And my move to the new studio, Jonathan, is pending. It's just around the corner. Could be.
Oh, nice.
Could be as early as next week. So hopefully you'll be down there hanging out and keeping me company.
Yeah, that would be great. And for all Duane's listeners, let's just end this new year. Let's stay in prayerful agreement with him over those things that he's got going on. We all love and support Duane and what he's doing.
I think that would be so appropriate. Would you close out this year in this radio program with a prayer?
Oh, I'd love to. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that in this day and age that we get to worship and declare your goodness in a public forum. Well, what a blessing. At this moment, we just want to invite you to sit on the throne of our praises as we give you honor and glory in all things, knowing that you are the giver of all good gifts, Father. We just thank you so much. And as we move into this new year, my prayerful thought for all those who are listening and all those who are involved is the Psalms 20 and 4, where he's going to make your path and your way good, Father God. In this new year, might you inspire people to have greater vision, Might you inspire people to have greater courage and success, to walk in the way that you have directed, Father God. We just are so grateful to you, so thankful. And right now I lift up my brother Dwayne, as he has those things which are pending on his plate, Father God. I would just decree in faith, Father God, that they would come to pass in a positive way, and that the prosperity that you wish for all your children would exceed his wildest dreams, Father. I'm so grateful and so thankful, giving you an honor and glory for all of this that has been last year and the incredible plans that you have for us in 2013. To you be the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, brother. Thanks so much. What a beautiful way to close out the year and to close out today's show. Thanks for hanging out with me. You have a great, safe, happy new year.
I will.
My best to all your family, and we'll talk early next week.
Look forward to it. Bye-bye.
Right, buddy. Take care now, John. Okay, guys, that does it. This wraps up another year of broadcast history. We started this in 2005. Yeah, 7 years. Okay, we'll be moving into our 8th year next April or May, I believe it is. It's been quite a journey. I'm glad to have you with me on this journey. If we can be of any help whatsoever in your trading endeavors, don't hesitate to send an email to support@cfrn.net. If you need somebody to talk to about trading, about your account, about anything, really, call us toll free at 866-928-3310. Again, that's 866-928-3310. We'd love to hear from you. If you've not taken our free trial yet, it's a piece of cake, no credit card required. Just go to cfrn.net/apply. All we need is your name, your email address. We don't need any other personal information. Now, what you're going to get is 5 days in our live trading room. Now, I know we've got a holiday coming up, and so we're going to lose a couple days next week. If you sign up for the free trial today, you're going to get the platform and the indicators today. You'll be able to download and install those. So for the next 4 days, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you'll be able to work with the platform, the charts, the indicators, multiple markets, multiple time frames, all of that good stuff. Your first day in the live trading room won't be until Wednesday. So how do you turn a 5-day free trial into 9? Well, I just told you. You sign up for the free trial today. You get the platform downloaded today. You call toll-free, talk to Bert or Leslie if you need help getting your charts up and running, your data flowing, your indicators indicating. 866-928-3310. They'll be happy to help you. All right. Now, you got the weekend. Over the weekend, if you're trying to get your charts, you know, you hit a bump in the road, shoot an email to support@cfrn.net. Michael or I, one, will reach out to you, and either via email or telephone or through a private go-to meeting, we will, even on the weekend, we'll help you get things lined up and set up so that you can do some work and be ready for the live trading room to open Wednesday morning. See, we know who has rolled up their sleeves and gotten their hands dirty with the platform, because when you show up in the live trading room, you're full of great questions. How do I do this? I tried to do that. What's going on? You know? And you really get our attention, because we know that you're taking this thing seriously. See, we take it seriously. The fact that you want to learn how to trade and that you want to be a part of our community, that you want to become a CFRN partner, we don't take that lightly at all. So you do your part, we'll do our part. Fair enough. I want to wish you all, you, your family, even your neighbor, a very happy and prosperous new year for 2013. Let's all say a prayer for our government officials as they trudge up that hill this afternoon, and let's just hope that they get this thing worked out for the benefit of each and every hardworking, tax-paying American. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.